Anybody know what tomorrow is? Monday? What else? New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. So, usually, this time of the year, we reflect on 2018 and think about what happened during the year of 2018. Good things? How many had a good year? How many had a bad year? Okay. Usually, years include good and bad. Isn't that right? Okay. So, it's also the time of the year when people start to make resolutions. Anybody make any New Year's resolutions? Joan did. Okay. Anybody else? She made a resolution. We start to think about what we did in 2018 and what we'd like to do maybe better in 2019. Self-improvements. Resolutions normally include health issues. Isn't that true? I'm going to exercise more. All right? I'm going to eat better. Isn't that true? So all kinds of weight loss programs. You get bombarded on TV with the weight loss programs, right? There's one in particular that just drives me nuts. It says you eat the food and you lose the weight. Right. Isn't that easy? It's that easy. Just eat the food that they send you and you pay for, and you're going to lose the weight. It's great. It's also the time of year when exercise equipment is probably sold more during this time of the year than ever any other time of the year. And that same exercise equipment is usually discounted because they want to sell more of it. But you can find that same equipment in next year's garage sales. You get it pretty cheap too, right? They want to give that stuff away in a year. So, resolutions are something that come in one year, and then they go out the next. So, if you're thinking about making resolutions, and most of us would like to lose a little weight, isn't that true? Yeah. I would. I do pretty good, except at night around TV. I like to nosh. You know, do you? You start picking on stuff that you know is no good for you, but you nibble on it, right? So I've read about all kinds of ways in which people try to lose weight. Some people put a padlock on the refrigerator at night. Have you heard of that? Some people hide their cigarettes, right? Barbara hides cookies because she knows I'm always looking for something sweet to eat, some kind of sweetness. I usually do pretty good until somebody brings cannolis into the house. Oh. Chuck brought a whole box of cannolis one time. Guess who ate most of them? I can't help it. You know why?
It's in your blood.
They call my name. They say, Angelo. Right? So we have all these kinds of ways in which we try and live better, healthier, get more exercise, get more rest. Right? So what happens a lot of times is a guy by the name of John Lyons, I wrote a few of these quotes down. He said, I see no need to make more New Year's resolutions when the ones already on the books aren't being enforced. Oscar Wilde said, Good resolutions are simply checks that men draw on a bank where they have no account. Right? Now, not only that, but we can make a resolution and then our memories get a little foggy. We forget along the way somewhere and we fall right back into the old way of living, right? There's a story about a man who decided to live the last years of his life in a retirement community. And he, when he got there, he met a lot of new people, a lot of people he liked and so on and so forth. But there was this one woman in particular that he especially liked. And they began to have meals together. And they really had some kind of a chemistry going. You know, they were really getting along well. And things went so well that one day he proposed to her. Isn't that cute? He proposed to her. Well, they went to bed that night, and the next morning he was very anxious and troubled because he remembered proposing to her, but he didn't remember what her answer was. So he went to see her. That morning they had breakfast together. And he said, "I'm so embarrassed because I remember proposing to you, but I don't remember if you said yes or not." She said, "Oh, I'm so happy you came to tell me that, because I remember saying yes, but I forgot who it was that proposed to me." But the calendar kind of gives us an idea of starting over again, doesn't it? Somehow. Now, to God, we know there is no time. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So that, but he allows us to have divisions by years and months and weeks and days and hours. It helps us to kind of organize our days and so forth. But so during that time, we realize that we can start over again. 2019, we could start fresh, clean page, turn the page, right? If you'll bring up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation." Right? "The old has gone." The old has gone. Boy, that's a refreshing idea, isn't it? The old has gone. Do you remember when you first put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember some of the things that left, that were gone? Do you remember that? Can you think of some of them? With me, I remember I lost maybe half of the adjectives in my vocabulary. I no longer refer to Jesus as an adjective, but as the King of Kings. I no longer put God before any other sentence in a form of an adjective. What else? What else left when you came to Christ? What other things left? Can you think of them? What's that? Bad habits, smoking. Fear of death. Great. Yeah. New things have come.
And people don't know this. And, you know, when I first, you know, was saved, I said it just seemed to kind of, in the situation where it normally would have been, it was gone.
Right.
And people say, "Do you have a temper?" I said, "I'm glad I'm going to get rid of that."
Yeah. And sometimes, Sometimes they just immediately go away. Just immediately go away. Barb.
I needed to make a decision on where I was going to spend my time.
Okay. New decisions. New decisions. So, a lot of the things that we did were self-gratifying. A lot of the old things that we did were, for example, I'll give you an example of my life. I had been to every racetrack from Maine to Florida. When I came to Christ, that was it. I had no more desire. No more desire to go to racetrack. So the self-centeredness, the shallow thinking goes. The so-called friends. How many friends did you lose? Right? The spiritual emptiness apart from God. Living for this world alone. And the old life of slavery to sin. But new things came. Isn't that great? New things came, right? The old has gone, the new is here. New things came. What new things came into your life?
Prayer.
Prayer. Yell it out. Okay. New joys. Isn't that true? New joys.
Bible.
Scripture. What else?
Forgiveness. Past, present, and future.
Amen. Amen.
And learning to forgive.
Learning to forgive. Forgiveness. Patience. All these new things came into your life. Isn't that great?
Conviction.
Conviction when you do sin. Amen. Amen. And a new heart. Where's doctor?
Right here.
Okay, doctor had it. You see, Jesus took that heart of stone away. And he gave us a new heart, amen?
Amen.
A new spirit. You got two new hearts, by the way. And what else? New eyes to see. New ears to hear. New hands to work. Glorifying God. Right? New feet to walk. Behold, the old is gone. The new has come. Right? And all this is how? Is from where? From God. This is nothing you did, by the way. You and I had no part in that. Right? As we came to God in faith. The new life of devotion to Christ means that we have a new attitude and new actions. So just like the first creation, right? It was all of God. Then this new creation. This new creation that God gives us when we come to Christ, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is all of Him and none of us. We okay with that so far? Okay, good. So, you may look up here and you may say, well, wait a minute. As friends and relatives of mine 42 years ago when I came to Christ said, you look the same. You're still that short Italian guy. You don't look new to me. Right? You know what the problem is there? You're looking at the outside, folks. You're looking at this outside. The new is in here. When Jesus came into my heart. That's the new from the inside. Completely new. Listen, this was no rehab. This was no reconstruction. Right? God didn't send you on 9 weeks for some kind of a rehab. No. God didn't do that. He didn't re-educate you, rebuild you, remanufacture you, you know, like some of these scientists do with the sheep. He made you new. You getting what I'm saying here? He made us new inside. New creatures. New creatures. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Someone already said that. Okay? Let's go over to Paul kind of elaborates this whole idea of the old is gone and the new has come. And he elaborates in a little more detail in Philippians chapter 3. If you'll bring me over to that, girls. Philippians chapter 3. Now in chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 4 because verse 4 talks about, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now let me preface this by saying, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Judaizers of the time. The Judaizers believed that you gain favor with God by following the law of Moses, and whatever the Pharisees add on to that. So they actually made the Pharisaical law equal with the law of Moses. So what they were preaching and teaching, the Judaizers, and Paul had to address, was that it's all of faith in Christ, and it's not of the law that you're saved or by doing good works, but it's all by the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your faith in him. So he was addressing that. And as we read on here, but whatever, see, circumcision was very important to the Judaizers. They said you had, before you could gain favor with God, before you can come into the family of believers, you had to be circumcised first. And he was talking about the Gentiles. They were talking about the Gentiles, the Judaizers. You couldn't become a believer unless you became a Jew first and followed all the ordinances of the Jewish faith. Circumcision was a big thing. You might want to parallel that today with baptism, where some denominations teach that baptism is essential to come into the family of God. Okay? But it's not by baptism. It's not by circumcision. So Paul, as he goes on, he starts to give his credentials here. He talks about himself. He was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Why is that important? Tribe of Benjamin was a very important tribe. The tribe, that's where the first king came from, King Saul, from the tribe of Benjamin. So, and then he said, Hebrew of Hebrews. Okay? He was not a mixed breed. His father was a Hebrew. His mother was a Hebrew. He was born a Hebrew. So he's sticking his chest out and he's saying, listen, if you think this stuff is important, let me show you what my credentials are. Let me show you what my resume is. So he goes on to say, as zeal, persecuting what? The church. How did he persecute the church? Do you remember? Paul held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. You remember that? Paul had great zeal for his Hebrew religion, his Jewish religion. He had great zeal for counteracting what the Christians were doing. He persecuted the Christians. And as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. And he goes on to say, but whatever, let me back up here. Persecuting the church and for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So he gives all of these credentials. Okay, he was a Pharisee. You know what a Pharisee was then? A Pharisee was the most zealous Jewish group. They were the PhDs of their time. And Paul stood right up there among the best. You know, he was highly exalted in that area. Knew every dotting of the I, crossing of the T. And therefore, he was a Pharisee. There were two main groups at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the zealots of Judaism. The Sadducees had more to do with the political end. They were the group that was in power, you know, making most of the decisions. But the Sadducees did not believe in a bodily resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. You know. But whatever was gains to me, I now consider loss for what? Let me hear that again. For the sake of Christ. Whatever I consider as gain, I now consider loss. Everything, he says, everything loss. Why? Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you have that attitude? Now, Paul is not talking about knowing here. Right? He's not talking about knowing up here, intellectual assent. What is he talking about? In Judaism, knowing was experientially knowing. Can I unpack that? Experientially knowing. Spending time with. Getting to know someone. Not just, well, I know Abe Lincoln because I read about him. You know? Some people say, yeah, I know about Jesus Christ. That's how they know him. From a distance, from a history book. But Paul is saying knowing Christ experientially. So, Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Have you ever heard people say when you're witnessing sometimes, if I come to Christ, what do I have to give up? Do I have to give up my beer? Do I have to give up my marijuana? Do I have to give up whatever, you know? See, you're coming from the wrong mindset then. Because whatever, as we talked about earlier, whatever was gone, the old, is replaced with something much, much better. Isn't that true? The old is gone, the new has come. Jesus doesn't take anything away from you that he doesn't replace that's far better. That's what Paul's saying here. See, I lost all things, but those things didn't matter. I consider them garbage. You know? One translation calls it dung. You know, horse manure. Compared, no matter the best thing you can think of today, your home, your cars, your boats, your money. I would say stock market, but that's down now. Whatever you consider valuable or important, it's like horse manure comparing to what? Let me hear it. Comparing to what? Christ. Knowing Christ experientially. Knowing him. Living with him. Speaking to him. Allowing him to speak to you. All that stuff is worthless, folks. Has no meaning, has no purpose. So, behold, the old is gone, the new has come. You see, now we begin a new life with a new master. Amen?
Amen.
A new life of growing obedience to him, brought about by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working in us. But how does this work? How does this happen? It happens in the process called sanctification. It doesn't happen all at once. Some things do when we first came to Christ, immediately. I smoked for 25 years, 2 packs of Lucky Strikes a day before I came to Christ. After Christ got hold of me, I was still smoking for another 3 years. That it was a terrible addiction. It was a process that finally I was able to lose by the grace of God. So some things are a process. And this is what Paul is saying here as we go on. So, and be found in him, be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness of the law, if you want to think about it in today's terms, that would be if you and I were to say, listen, I come to church regularly, every other week. Once a month, whenever. Okay, I come to church. Listen, my neighbors don't come. God ought to look more favorably on me because I come to church. And once in a while, I come to prayer meeting. You know, I treat my wife, my husband, well. I try to live by the golden rule. You know, occasionally I'll open my Bible and read it. God ought to look with me with favor over the people that don't do these things. See, that's a righteousness that counts for nothing. That's the garbage. If you're thinking that that stuff is going to gain favor with God. So, if that's the case, what is Paul saying, the Apostle Paul saying? He says, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith is what? On the basis of what? Faith. Okay. And in verse 10, if you go home with nothing else but verse 10, then I will have felt like the effort I put into this message was worth it. If you go home with verse 10, I want to know Christ. How? Know him how? Experientially, not up here, not all the Christian cliches, they mean nothing. Yes, and to know the power of the resurrection. What kind of power is that? What kind of power is in the resurrection? Okay? The same kind of power that in you and I. The power of the Holy Spirit working in us. We have the power to live that kind of a life, okay, and participate in his suffering. Suffering that you may experience through your witness for Christ, not suffering for bad decisions that you make. Because like him in his death, becoming like him in his death so that somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, he's talking not about salvation here. I believe that Paul is speaking here about the rapture, about the bodily resurrection. When Christ comes again, he's going to do what? He's going to meet us in the air, right? I'm going to be sucked up into the air unless Jesus comes back again. Unless what? Unless he comes back while I'm still alive. Amen? So somehow attaining to the resurrection. Now, we know that in the meantime, we take two steps forward, one step back, and we fall and we fail. We're not perfect yet. And Paul says that. Paul talks about it here. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I'm pressing on. The image here is of the Olympic Games. Okay, I press on. I see the goal. I'm focused on the goal. Many, many years ago when I was in my 20s, I used to plow a field. We had a small farm. And I plowed a field. And I'd do all right unless I started looking back. You know, started looking back. Because what would happen? Then the furrows started getting a little crazy. I lost sight of the goal. You know? So it's important to keep focusing on the goal. What's ahead? I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. But he says, forgetting what is behind. What do we need to forget? Okay, sin. Confess sin, certainly. You know, we need to forget it. Why? Because what did God do? God separated that from the east and the west, never to be seen again, your sin. 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them. So why are you still holding on to past sins? You need to forget those things, right? Failures. How many times have failures start coming back into your mind and say, oh, man, I really messed that up. Can't do anything about it now. Confess it. Put it in the past. Press on. Press on to the goal. What else are we to forget?
Regrets.
Offenses. Right? Offenses. Okay. Offenses. People that have wronged us. People that have wronged us. We hold on to, don't we? We hold on to because we're angry. We've been injured. We've been hurt deeply. And guess what? We don't want to forgive. We don't want to forgive. We want to hold on to that anger, right? But what did Jesus say?
Sometimes we hurt someone else and we have to go this way.
That's also. Right? Sometimes we have to do the other, right? Go and ask for forgiveness. But Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. So we are to forgive the way Jesus forgives us. Isn't that true? That's how it works. Cyclical. That's how it works. So, and what else are we to forget? We need to forget all of our accomplishments that we've done for Christ. Why? They feel good. I like to think about those. I break my arm patting myself on the back. I like to dwell on those things. I'll tell you stories that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago, where I had victory in Christ. Feels good. Now, that doesn't mean that I would blot my memory of those things. Right? It's the same kind of thing as you see a person that has the same hairdo that they had in the 70s. Right? What kind of suits did we have in the 70s? Anybody remember? Leisure suits. You see somebody walking around with a leisure suit today, you would say, oh my goodness. Right? You know. back in the day, you know, I had it when I had hair, Vinny. I had a little curl coming down my foot. Sideburns. A DA in the back. Yeah. I had peg pants. Nobody knows what peg pants are, do they? You remember peg pants? 14-inch. A 14-inch peg pants meant that I could hardly get my foot through the bottom.
Now you buy them that way.
But wait a minute now. Let's not bring it all up on. Pink. They were pink. With black saddle stitch down the sides. I had my collar up. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? Now, if I were to walk around like that today, you got to forget that stuff, folks. Live for now. Focus on what? What are we focusing on? The goal. Behold, right? The goal to what? To win the prize that God has called me heavenward to. Okay, so what's the focus that Paul is guiding us towards? What's the goal? Looking to the future. Paul's primary focus was what? His relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, nothing else matters in this world as much as your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing matters that much. Everything in your life ought to have Him at the center of it. Paul is saying, that's what I want to focus on. What would you like to focus on this year? This coming year? He says that I may know Him. Let me go back to verse 10. That I might know Him and the power of the resurrection. That I might know Him and the power of the resurrection. And the fellowship of sharing in His suffering. What needs to happen in your life in 2019? What would you like to see happen in 2019? What does God want to do for you and in you in this coming year? Paul had an insatiable desire for more of God. Wow. Is that amazing? Why? Why did he feel that way? Why was that important to him? Because he knew Christ experientially. Remember on the road to Damascus, he was a persecutor of Christ. And he was blinded. Physically blinded. He was already spiritually blinded, but now he's physically blinded. For several days. Right? Came to Christ. And guess what? Saul became Paul. A new creation. Hallelujah. He became a new person from the inside. Paul went on to be one of the great saints of Scripture. Wrote half of the New Testament. So, he had an insatiable desire to see more of God, to see God more experientially in his life. He realized that Jesus Christ went up on that cross for him, that he died for him, that he took his sins, that he gave him an opportunity to spend eternity with him. Wow. Isn't that amazing? How can I illustrate that? You see this jacket I'm wearing today, this coat? This sport coat, dark, symbolic of all my sins. Jesus took this. Jesus took my sins, put them up on the cross, nailed them to the cross. And guess what he did? Look what he did. He put his righteousness on me. Amen?
Amen.
I became righteous, not by my own works, not by my own good deeds, but simply by faith in him. His righteousness then is appointed to me. And because of that, I can have access in glory with him forever and ever. Amen? God bless you all. Bill?